Good afternoon. Can everybody hear me okay? Thumbs up? Okay. My name is Wade Horton. I'm the County Public Works Director. It's my pleasure to welcome you here today to discuss this very important project. I've been on board with the Public Works team for just over 2 months now. Glad to be here. But as I'm coming up to speed on a lot of different issues, I tell you I'm very impressed with what the community and the project team have been able to accomplish to get us to this point here today. I know we have a lot to talk about and discuss this afternoon, so I'm going to be brief, but I just want to say it's a privilege to be part of your County Public Works team to serve you, and I look forward to working with the community of Los Osos in the future. With that, I'm going to turn it over to John.
Thanks, Wade. Well, great crowd again. Who was here 1 year and 1 day ago for our last meeting? All right. And, you know, we just wanted to check back in with the community and plan this meeting. And as we started going through our presentation, you know, just became evident that, you know, a year ago we really had a good foundation. We had the bids in on the water recycling facility, and we had a plan moving forward. And here a year later, we're still executing that. You know, the major points haven't changed, but we do have more details, and we also just wanted to take a chance to check in. So if you've heard some of this before, we apologize, but we're just here to, you know, keep the dialogue open. I'm going to just run through quickly some of the topics we're going to cover, and myself, Robert Ruiz, and Kate Ballantyne will be taking turns on covering these different issues in more detail. But first, the format. So we're doing the presentation first, and then we'll have time at the end for question and answers directly with our team at the tables. And we also at each table have follow-up question cards. So if you don't get your question answered, or if there are too many people, you can put your question and your contact information on here, and then we can contact you directly. But first, I want to thank you for your patience during the collection system construction. I expect that we can all remember these scenes over the last few years. It's in the past now. That work has been done. This community, you know, your community has been outstanding in your patience and understanding and support during that difficult part of the project. Just a quick chart to kind of illustrate the where we're at. You know, the pipeline contracts, they're done, 100% complete. The pump stations are getting really close to the end, and we're cost-wise on the project about 35% complete, but schedule of around 40, and have a little more than a year left until we're ready for connections. And this graph here, just the blue line, is kind of the total cost of construction, and the red is where we're at right now as we speak. As you've probably seen, the pump stations are coming together and getting wrapped up. Most of it's below ground, but there are those brick buildings that have been erected. Those house the emergency standby generators. After that, you know, we're revegetating the area. The picture on the bottom left here is the Lupin generator building, for example, and it has a space that's reserved for a community garden. So as we move forward, we'll be doing outreach to you know, implement that community garden at that location. The water recycling facility, as I said, it started last March, so it's about 11 months along. A lot has happened in 11 months. We have a video that we're going to show you. It's about 4 minutes long. If you can just bear with us, and the AGP guys will get it going. Just it gives a good overview of everything that's been going on out there. Please just hold your applause to the end. No, please, hold your applause to the end.
We'll be right back.
If you guys can stop the video and we'll go back to the PowerPoint. How many want to see it again? Well, we will be having another public tour of the construction site. Now, just announcing that today, March 31st, from 5 to 6 p.m. We had one several months ago and had several dozen individuals go out there and look around, and you're all welcome. We do ask that you RSVP. We have sign-ups over here on the this wall to my right, and then we'll also have a notice on our website, and you can contact our office to RSVP to do that tour, just so we know how many to expect and can be prepared. I'm also pleased to say that the contractor and our construction management team have been working together very well over the last 11 months, and you know, things are on schedule right now, and you know, progressing to be completed, for the construction to be completed and ready for connections next March 2016. Moving on to cost update. This chart is basically what we presented last year, and can say that it has not changed, except we have revised down some estimates on the mobile homes, revised them down slightly. But just for example, on a typical single family, and again, this would be a typical home, the blue represents the assessments that were approved back in 2007, so that $25,000 per house works out on a it's charged semi-annually on property tax bills, but on a monthly basis, works out to about $90 a month. Then the red is the fixed portion of the service charges for operations and maintenance, and then the green is the variable, and that follows a formula based on an estimate of your indoor water use, which takes your wintertime water bills and estimates your indoor water usage. So that totals for a typical single family of about $165 a month, significantly less for multifamily and mobile homes, and then non-residential commercial properties that vary based on the square footage of the property. And at the end of the presentation, we'll be talking about the financial assistance options open to those who need it. Just kind of a busy graph here, but it illustrates kind of things we have going on over the next couple of years. There's also a poster in the back with this information. But, we will be having, we'll be talking about them during this presentation, but financial assistance workshops later this year, late spring or in the summer, to really begin that outreach and help people start understanding what kind of things they're eligible for and start that application process for the number of different grants and loans that are available. Some more construction news, but I hope it's good news. We will be starting a couple of resurfacing projects or contracts in Los Osos. We'll be overlaying about 5 miles of road and then microsurfacing the majority of the rest of the streets, residential streets in town. Those contracts are kind of getting into the bidding process right now. We expect they're going to be starting up around June or July. And, the goal is by the end of this summer for most streets in Los Osos to have new blacktop. Also coming up this year are the septic reuse workshops, and we've been working with the Slo Green Building Council on developing options. They have a table here. We'll be talking about it during the presentation and about kind of the process for those workshops that'll be starting this year and continuing into 2016, when we will start phasing in the lateral connections and sending the notices. And that'll be starting after March, so probably April 2016. And then the sewer bills will really, the full cost will be really into probably 2017 when you really see those on your property tax bills. Perhaps the 16-17 tax year potentially, so that would be the December 2016 would be the soonest. I'm going to have Rob Ruiz come up and kind of go through just in some of the lateral connection process that we looking ahead to for 2016.
Good afternoon, and thanks once again for coming out and getting informed. We're happy to be here. On-lot laterals, I'm sure everybody's interested in this because it affects everybody in town in one way or the other. So basically, as far as connections are concerned, those will not take place until the spring of 2016, which is about 12 or 13 months away. And the way we're going to do that is it's going to be phased connections, so that way not everybody in town is connecting at once. And it will also allow us to start up our pump stations and the treatment plant in an orderly fashion. You will each property owner will get a written notice when it's time for you to connect, and once you get that written notice, you'll have 6 months to connect. And the property owner, you are responsible for and basically in charge for construction on your property, so we're not going to intrude too much on that other than follow state health and safety guidelines. Connection process is pretty straightforward in theory, is you have a wastewater line coming out of your home currently that goes into your septic tank and then into your leach field or pit. So when you install your lateral, the thing to do first is to install the lateral from your home out to where the cleanout is near the street, and then you make the connection at those two points and then decommission your septic tank. And there's several things you can do with your septic tank after you stop using it for septic purposes, and Kate will talk about what those options are. As far as connections and the setups for laterals, most of the town, or most of the properties here in town have the septic tanks in the front yard. About 75% of you have your septic tanks in the front yard. The remainder have it in the backyard. And the thought is just to intercept the line, your wastewater line that comes out of your house before it gets into your septic tank, and route it around your septic tank and go to, again, where we put the lateral near your front property line. If it's in the backyard, if your septic tank's in the backyard and that's where your wastewater line's coming out, then you have to route it around the side yard and go out to the front. This exhibit here is difficult to read, I'm sure. We have handouts at this table over here with this very same exhibit and with my contact information, and I'm more than happy to talk to you individually about this process. Costs. As far as costs are concerned, it's going to range per property. But the medium cost is estimated to be around $3,000 because, again, most of the connections are in the front property line with not so much of a distance to go with the new lateral. There will be some cases where the cost will escalate to possibly up to $10,000, and that's where you have to tear up maybe extensive landscaping or hardscape driveways, paved walkways or whatnot, or go from the backyard all the way to the front. And those costs are going to be determined at the time of installation of these laterals with contractors, and I'll get that here in a second. In addition to the laterals that you will be required to install, about 200 properties have been identified that need grinder pumps, and basically those are homes that sit below the street level or where your wastewater line is below where the main line is in the street, so you'll have to pump your wastewater up to the street. And you have, if you're one of those property owners, you have would have already gotten a notice from us. And if you haven't, chances are that you probably don't need a grinder pump. That's an additional cost, and the additional cost for grinder pump again ranges. You can anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000 or $9,000, depending on your situation, what type of upgrades you need to do, and what type of grinder pump you choose for your particular use. In some cases, grinder pumps may offset costs of some laterals. For instance, if you have a backyard connection that you need to go up to the front, and or if you have a lateral that you have to dig down 8, 9, 10 feet, rather than having to dig that deep, maybe it'd be better to put in a grinder pump, and you'd be a lot less deep or not as deep with a grinder pump than you would with a gravity lateral. One thing we do recommend highly is that you get several prices from contractors, get several estimates, because that's going to help you ensure that you get fair value for what you're paying for. Permits are required for lateral installations, and that's a building code requirement, and that will enable us to do inspections and ensure that the laterals are installed to health and safety standards. And the permits are usually obtained by your contractor, and we're going to set up this system where your contractor can get what we call an e-permit, and those permits are available online to the contractor. And in instances, there are instances where some homeowners have expressed the desire to do their own lateral. You can do that as an owner-builder, but to get that permit, it's a walk-up counter permit that you're going to have to apply for, and that may entail some drawing up of some kind of a plan of what your situation is in a plan review. So in terms of contractors, I've gotten a lot of calls, or the county has gotten a lot of calls from local contractors that are interested in installing laterals out here. So I know there's going to be a large selection of contractors to choose from. The county is required, or the contractors are required, to have some environmental training if they're going to work out in Los Osos. And the county is going to put together an approved contractor list for contractors who are licensed, bonded, and have gone through that environmental training. So that list is going to be available for you to review and pick somebody from that list later this year. And it's totally up to you who you pick from that list. Again, we just recommend that you get multiple bids to ensure that you're getting good value for the work you're going to get done on your property. With that, if anybody has any more questions regarding on-site laterals, you can come see me at the table here after the presentation, or you can either call me or email me. I know that I've spoken to many of you over the last couple of years. Well, permits are not free. Permit fees, we're going to go to the board. That hasn't been finalized yet, but we're going to go to the board to get a reduced permit fee. And I looked at the fee structure earlier today, and the permit fee is about $211 for the simple connect and decommissioning of your septic tank. And if you want to do a little different things with your septic tank, it can go up a couple hundred dollars more than that. So with that, I will pass it on to Kate Valentine, who will talk about your options in terms of your septic reuse.
All right. Hi, I'm Kate Valentine with the Environmental Programs Division for the county. I'm going to speak just very briefly about some options for reusing your septic tank. As part of our county permit and also as part of our coastal permit, we're required to investigate options for reusing the septic infrastructure we already have in town. It's really focused on trying to get some more percolation of groundwater into the ground from stormwater. But beyond recharge of groundwater, we've added some other choices, so you have more options when you go to hook up. We have Slow Green Building Council back here. Wave, guys. They're all the back under the drama club. They have lots of options, handouts for you, and we're going to have some more opportunities to learn about this, but I just want to go through a couple options just to give you an idea of something to think about. When you go to hook up and you need to do something with your septic tank, you can either, one choice is to abandon it, and that means you're going to pump it out, fill it with sand or slurry, seal it up, and forget it was ever there. Or you could remove it. That's not recommended. That's a huge hole to deal with. Or we have some options for you. One is just to use it as a storm water infiltrator. So the idea here is you run your roof water to your existing septic tank or to your leach field or to both. And it's a pretty simple process where you would pump it out and then drill some holes around the bottom. So this would just help infiltrate water into the ground. There are several benefits. You can go over those with Slow Green Build. There's kind of a community-wide benefit to doing that. And also, looking at the costs of importing a bunch of sand to fill it in or drill some holes, it's probably going to be pretty cost neutral. So it's just a good opportunity to do something different. Another idea is that you can use it as a cistern and reuse your rainwater for irrigation purposes in your yard. Same idea, run stormwater off your roof. Send it to your septic tank. Some will go out to the leach field when your septic tank is full, But what remains, you can put in a pump, get a permit to be able to use it to irrigate your landscaping. There's other options. You can harvest rainwater. Also, to use, it's legal now to use it inside for toilet flushing. Something to investigate. You can send your gray water out to your septic system. You can treat it to reuse it back into your house or to use as irrigation. And then there's multiple combinations of options. So the idea is you have the infrastructure. Why not explore these different ideas? You might get some benefit out of it, and it's kind of an exciting opportunity to use the cistern you already have in your yard. We're going to have some workshops specific to septic tank reuse. We'll be doing some presentations to LOCAC and the board this fall, and then we're going to roll out a workshop three times for each phase of the hookup. So when you're notified of your hookup, you'll be notified of a workshop, and then you can get more specific information so you can really start to nail down what you want to do. My other topic is, you may have heard of the Moro shoulder band snail. Our project's permit authority will extend to your work on your private parcels. We will be able to provide snail monitoring for you. Also, you may have heard that Los Osos is rich in cultural resources, and we have identified parcels that have both snail habitat and potentially cultural resources, and we have created a list. When you go in to get your building permit for your hookup, you'll be notified if you need either a biologist or an archaeologist to do pre-construction survey or monitoring during lateral installation. It's all worked out. The county will provide this service. The county will provide this service for you. So we have biologists on staff who will come out and look for snails ahead of your lateral. We have archaeologists who will do monitoring during construction. There's no additional cost for this service. It's just a matter of scheduling it. Okay, that's it for me. We'll send it back to John.
Okay, well, I get to wrap up on the financial assistance options that we've been working on for low-income residents, and a number of different programs that are focused both on the lateral connection side, what Rob Ruiz was talking about, and those costs there, as well as then the overall project costs, you know, the assessments and service charges like that were on the bar chart that I showed. And then again, we're also going to be having workshops on those topics. One thing real quick, I neglected to mention earlier, just kind of related to financial issues, our water conservation program, which has been ongoing now for more than a couple of years, the rebate amounts that include the cost of fixture and installation have been extended. And you know, currently we have about 50% of the homes who are confirmed in compliance with the water conservation requirements. Based on our research, we estimated actually probably 80 or 90% actually are in compliance. We just haven't heard from everyone. But the point is that there's more funds available that will cover the costs for retrofitting your fixtures. That is a requirement to connect to the project, but the funding is available to cover those costs. And so if you have not done your retrofit or have not received a rebate, you know, we need to hear from you, and it's something that you can do in this coming year before having to before it's time to connect with your laterals. So on the lateral connection, you know, the USDA has been our partner throughout this project with funding and grants, and they have an exciting program, the 504 program, and it's available for it provides loans up to $20,000 at a 1% interest rate for a 20-year term, And also, for senior citizens 62 and over, it provides up to $7,500 in grants. So it's available to very low-income residents. At our table on the back wall, Ken Cardoza's there, and we have a handout and the data of the USDA's determination of what a very low-income household is. But the exciting thing, too, is not only does this can these grants and loans cover your lateral connection costs, there's a whole range of home improvements and home efficiency improvements that are covered under this, and you can combine those the lateral work with other improvements through these funding programs. And you know, so whether it's grants or a 1% loan, those are pretty good terms. So one of the things about this program is the applications are good for 6 months. You have to apply within 6 months of doing the work. So we're kind of way ahead of the curve here. We will be having these financial assistance workshops, meeting with people individually, seeing who's eligible, and then kind of having things in place to follow up as it gets closer to connection so you can get that application in and receive those grant funds. There's also a good fair amount of local funds available, community development funds, the community fund, another local fund that should be total around $500,000. And so we're going to target those funds, we're planning to target those funds for low-income residents that just are above the income threshold for that USDA program. On to the more of the general project costs, the state recently reauthorized the property tax postponement program. And the exciting thing about that is, in addition to your typical property taxes, it includes assessments and rates and charges and those types of things that are on your property tax bill related to this sewer project. So low-income seniors, and there's some other requirements as far as I think it's 40% equity in your home, can apply to this program and defer and not have to pay their property tax bills, which includes, you know, the sewer bill. And it goes as a lien on the property, and it's essentially a loan, but it does not have to be repaid until the title, you know, the certain changes on the title, as in the property changing hands. So this is something that, for those that need it, can really defer the majority of the cost of the sewer project. Again, it's for seniors, low-income seniors. I think the income threshold is $35,500. We also have we have a handout at the back that covers all of these programs with information on each one and our contact information. And finally, we're developing another program, and you know it's still in development, but a 20% discount on your service charges. So this would work out to, you know, on the range probably $15 a month for a typical home, but still a discount nonetheless on the service charges portion. And this would be for, again, low-income property owners. But without an age requirement. So we've been talking a lot about these different workshops that are upcoming. We are planning to have these financial assistance workshops where individuals can get one-on-one guidance and counseling with. We're going to be partnering with a local nonprofit to facilitate those, to help determine your eligibility for financial assistance and you know, what your options are. And then to kind of then to assist with that application process, if needed. A big part of these workshops also is for us to gauge the need in Los Osos. How many you know, low-income residents, people are low-income and believe they need assistance. And then on the programs we're developing, then the 20% rebate as well as the lateral grants, it'll help us give us guidance for developing those programs. And another key benefit is it's going to help us seek additional funding. If, you know, if there's more demand than there is funds, than there are funds, you know, I think it will give us leverage to go and leverage more funding. And, you know, to date on the project, we've received over $20 million in grants, and we will continue to seek more. So, you know, it's important for... out of these workshops, then we'll be able to follow up as the time comes to ensure that those are eligible, that people that are eligible are getting the applications in and the funding that they're due. So what's important now is sign up if you're interested or believe you may qualify. We have sign-up sheets back at the financial table. We're also going to putting a form on our website, or you can contact our office directly. And actually, if you can't get to the sign-up sheet, you can pick up one of those blue question cards that I showed earlier that are at all the tables, and just put that in, put your contact information and that you want to be on that interest list. We will be doing follow-up to the entire community, but certainly getting on that list will help you get that information more timely. So that kind of concludes our presentation. I'd like to ask Bruce to come up with some closing comments, and then we're going to move to the more individual Q&A at the tables.
Thank you, John. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, thank you for your time and interest in being here today. Actually, one of our staff has indicated that in an area back behind this room and off to that side, there is a wooden structure, and near that structure there is a water line that has broken and is leaking, and folks parked in that area have cars blocking the access for those who want to repair that. So if being parked near a wooden structure out in the back of that speaks to you as an individual, I'll avert my eyes while you go, and if you would move your car to let that access be had. I don't want to take a lot more of your time. I apologize I wasn't here for the start of this particular session due to another commitment, but I hope you did find the update useful to you. And while the streets are quiet right now, I hope you also take away from this presentation that the project team is hard at work on a number of issues that are going to impact you. We know that the cost of this project continues to be an issue, and I was here as John ran through some of the financial assistance that we hope to make available. We continue to work to try to bring the actual cost of the overall project down by potentially refinancing or lowering the interest rate on some of the loans that have been taken out to finance this. And I just want you to know that we continue to work really hard at on a variety of fronts in that direction. We also know that a year from now, there's going to be a certain level of confusion and inconvenience visited back on the community as we get into the very important process of hooking everybody up to this new system. That, too, is something we're working very diligently on to try to minimize the inconvenience to you and keep the flow of information going from our project team to you. So let me just tell you that I imagine that John has provided you some contact information. If you have trouble locating information, you are always welcome to call my office. My office, direct line to my office, is 781-4338. 781-4338, and if you have trouble locating information, please don't hesitate to call us. So with that, I'll again thank you for your interest and your time here. We do have the booth set up around the periphery here. I'll be circulating around if you have detailed questions, and I wish you a very good evening.
you'll indulge me for a few minutes, we have a little video about 4 minutes long that kind of covers the progress of construction from last March through at the end are portions of the video that are actually just from Monday. Uh-oh. Wait. Oh, please hold your applause to the end.
Thank you.
So, a lot has happened in the last 10 months. If you'd like to take a closer look, we will be having another public tour of the site this March 31st. March 31st at 5 p.m. We had one a few months ago, and a few dozen people came out, walked around in the dirt, and I guarantee it is much different now than it was, I think it was in September. And if you'd like to, we do ask that you RSVP, so we know how many people are coming. Obviously, it's an active construction site. Rosalyn is one of our engineers on the water recycling facility. She has sign-up sheets, as well as can answer your questions about the treatment plant and the processes. We will also be having, through our website, you'll also be able to sign up an RSVP. And just you can contact our office. But I can't say that the contractor and our construction management team have been working together well this last year. And, you know, at this point, at almost halfway through the construction period, we're still on schedule and on track for completion next March. So, moving on to some financial details. Showed this chart last year. And just some slight changes. Actually, the only change is that the estimate for mobile homes was recalculated and has come down. But it encompasses kind of the project costs, the assessments that were approved by you, the property owners, in 2007, those $25,000 for a typical house. That is represented in the blue bar, based on our financing, what it will cost on a monthly basis, so about $90 a month. Then the red and the green are the service charges. For the operations and maintenance of the project as it goes forward. And part of that is a fixed fee, and then part of it's variable based on a calculation of your estimated indoor use, which is based on your wintertime water bills. And we can, afterwards I'll be at the back table there and can explain that more if you have questions. And actually, as I refer to these tables and questions, if it's crowded at the table and you can't wait or can't get your question answered, at all of the tables, we do have these little follow-up question requests where you can put down your name and contact information and your question, and then we can contact you individually with an answer to your question in the next few days. So, if you're not being able to get to someone, don't be frustrated. If you want to get going, go ahead and just fill one of those out and leave them with anyone at the tables. Oh, and so for a typical single-family home, the estimate is about $165 a month, and so that is a lot. And at the end of the presentation, I'll be coming back up to talk about some of the financial assistance options that we're working on. Just to kind of hit on some of the schedule and what's coming up, as I said, the pump stations are almost complete. We will be doing workshops on the financial assistance later this year, by kind of late spring or the summer. I'll be talking about that more later. Another good news is this summer we'll be resurfacing most of the roads in town. We are in the bidding process right now. We plan to overlay about 5 miles of road and then resurface with the microsurfacing the majority of most of the other roads that were impacted by the sewer project. So, more construction coming to your neighborhoods, but it should be quick. And, our hope is by the end of this year or even the end of the summer, most streets in town will have new blacktop. We'll also be talking about our septic reuse program later in this presentation, and we'll be having workshops on that later this year as we get ready for the connections. And then over 2016 and into 2017 will be as those connections are phased in. And we expect it's going to be late 2016 or even into 2017 until you really start seeing the full cost of the sewer projects being assessed on the property taxes. One more thing on kind of related to the schedule that is our water conservation program. That is still ongoing. The higher rebate amounts that cover the cost of those fixtures and installation have been extended kind of through the life of the project through 2017. Having low flow fixtures is a condition of the project, a condition of connecting to the sewer, so it needs to be done. We have rebated or confirmed compliance with about half the homes in town. Based on our research and a survey, we estimate actually 80 or 90% are likely in compliant, but we need to hear from you. You need to have that confirmed before you connect to the sewer, and there's still funding available. And so as one of the things that needs to be done as part of the project, This is something that the rebate program will be able to, should be able to cover the full costs or very close to it. And you know, typically a property owner, you know, hires a plumber to do the work. Most plumbers make sure their costs are within the, that rebate amount, and then you get a rebate to cover that cost. I'm going to pass it to Rob Ruiz now, who is our engineer that was has been working on the collection system the last couple of years, to go over the lateral connection process.
Thanks, John. And thank each one of you for taking time of your night to come here tonight. Laterals, on-lot laterals, that's something that affects everybody in town, whether you own the property you live in or rent. There's a lateral that's going to be installed on that property. So in terms of connections will not start until spring of 2016, and that's after the treatment plan has been completed. And the connections are going to be phased, so not everybody in town is going to get the green light to go at once. They're going to be phased to accommodate the startup of the treatment plant and the pumps, and then just to alleviate some of the crowding of the contractors in certain areas. When it's time to connect and you get your notice, you're going to get a written notice, and you'll have 6 months to connect once you get that notice. And the property owners are responsible, or you have the right to direct the work on your property. So it's going to be up to you how you route the lateral on your property and who you contract with to have that work done. The connection process is pretty simple. There's a wastewater line that's coming out of your house, either the front or the back or the side, and there's a lateral that connection that was provided near your front property line. So all you need to do is put a pipe between point A and point B, make the connection, and then decommission your existing septic tank. And decommissioning your existing septic tank, you can repurpose it for other uses, and Kate will be up here in a minute to explain what those other uses are. So just typical scenarios that we have out here is your septic tank is either in the front of your yard or in the back of your yard. So if it's in the front of the yard, you just intercept it as soon as it comes out of your house and go out to the front. And if it's in the back, you have to go from the back along the side of your house to the front. And this graphic, I'm sure it's hard to see from there. We're going to have handouts at this table over here. I'm going to be there after the presentation, and you're welcome to come up here and get a handout or down there. Estimated on-lot costs. So, like I said, there's conditions that some homes have the laterals in the front of the house, some of them have them in the back of the house. Some of them have extensive landscaping, some homes have extensive landscaping, others don't. Some of them have extensive flat work, driveways or whatnot, others don't. So costs are going to range. We've kind of done a survey, and we estimate medium cost is going to be approximately $3,000 to connect and decommission your septic system. It could go as high as $10,000 in extreme cases, but those cases will be minimal. In addition to that, there's some homes that have been identified of having to need a grinder pump, and that's the situation where the home sits lower than the street, or your existing wastewater line coming out of your house is lower than the connection point on the street. So in those cases, a grinder pump is needed. And those property owners have been notified with a letter, and that letter went out over a year ago. So if you didn't get that letter, chances are very high that you don't need a grinder pump. And again, the grinder pumps are property owner's responsibility, and they get to decide what grinder pump to install, and there's different cost points for grinder pumps. One thing we highly recommend is that you get multiple quotes from a contractor. I've gotten calls, or we've gotten calls from several contractors that are interested to do work out here, and it's going to be competitive, so if you get multiple quotes, I'm sure you'll get a reasonable price. In order to make the connection, you will have to get a permit to do that. That's a building code requirement, and that permit will allow the inspections to be done by the building department to make sure that the contractor installs the lateral to current health and safety standards. The permits are usually obtained by the contractor, and the planning department has created a system that they call the e-permit that they can get those permits online. It's a very simple process. In cases where property owners want to install the laterals themselves, you will be able to do that as an owner-builder, those permits are, you have to apply for them at the planning counter. There will be, currently there's a fee for the permits, but that permit fee is possibly going to be absorbed by the project. That's something that's going to be taken up this year. Staff's preparing recommendations to the board, and hopefully that'll be heard before that, and those costs will not be seen by you. And just for clarity, in the earlier meeting, that topic came up, and I wasn't clear that the permit fee may have been absorbed by the project. So if you talk to your neighbor and that comes up, just that's a point of clarity, that the permit fees may be picked up by the project. And then, like I said, I've had several contractors contact me that are interested. The county is creating a list of contractors, or will have a list before it's time to connect, of approved contractors, and those contractors will have gone through environmental training that's required by the coastal permit that this project is being built by. That list will be available by the end of this year. So with that, I'll pass it on to Kate, and she can talk about the options to reuse the septic systems.
Hi, my name is Kate Valentine. I'm with our Public Works Environmental Programs Division, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some different options you have to possibly repurpose your septic tank, and then I'll also be talking about some biological and cultural issues with your laterals and how we're going to address those together. We are required to produce a septic tank decommissioning plan as part of our coastal permit and also as part of our county permit. And that was really a condition that was focused on trying to get more water into the ground to take the place of our septic systems. We've taken it a little bit further. We've hired Slow Green Build. They're in the back under the Drama Club sign. They're putting together a plan. They've come up with many more options for what you can do with your septic system. The first choice you have is you can just abandon your septic system in place. And that what that consists of is pumping it out, filling it with sand or slurry, and then walking away. So that's an option. Another option I have up here is kind of the simplest reuse option for your septic tank, and that is just to gather stormwater from your roof, direct it to your septic tank and or your leach field, both, one or the other, and try and get some more of that water into the ground. And to do that, all you would need to do is pump out your tank and then drill some holes in it so that the water can go out of it into the ground. A contractor would do that. And looking at the costs, we've met with some contractors, looking at the costs, that could be probably pretty cost neutral with just abandoning it in place, not having to bring in all of that fill. Another option would be harvesting rainwater to use to irrigate your yard. So same sort of idea, you would clean out your tank, and then you would add a pump, use the leach field when you get too much water, and then when you have enough water in your septic system or the tank, then you can use it to water your yard during the dry season. So it's kind of another simple option. We have a bunch of more options that I'm not going to go through in the interest of time, but Slow Green Build in the back can do that. You can also harvest rainwater for indoor use. It's now legal to use it for toilet flushing. So you can send your rainwater back into the house. You can send your gray water to your septic system, and you can also use that for toilet flushing. You can also do combinations of all of these options. So it's up to you. It's your choice, but we've put together all the information that you're going to need to make that choice. We're going to be having some more detailed workshops coming up. This fall, we'll be bringing our plan to LOCAC, also to the Board of Supervisors. And then as Rob noted, we're going to roll out this this phasing, three phases of letting people know it's time for them to hook up.
And just as part of the beginning of each one of those phases, we'll have a more specific workshop where you can come in, get more information about septic tank reuse, and then make a final decision of what you want to do with your tank. Okay, I'm also known as the snail lady, and we have the Morrow shoulder band snail all through town. I'm sure you're all aware. Our permit coverage for the Morrow shoulder band snail is extended to your laterals. And so I just, up front, this is a service that the county, my division in particular, will be providing. It's no additional cost, but some of you have come and visited me at the table and found out if your lot is one where we are going to be looking for snails. The process for that is that when you apply for your building permit to hook up, you'll be notified right away if you've been identified as having the potential for snails or for cultural resources. In both cases, probably you'll be calling me or someone on my staff. We'll schedule the work with you and come, and we will just be clearing snails out of the way of your lateral, relocating them to more appropriate habitat, getting them out of your yard, right? It's a bonus. And in the case of cultural resources, we'll be having an archaeologist actually monitor the excavation work to see it's a permit requirement. So we'll be providing that, no cost to you, but I'm sure I'll be seeing some of you in the future when we address those issues. Yes. So the question is, have we identified those lots that have either biological or cultural resource issues? And yes, we have. At my table, I actually have a map that shows those areas. I think there's about 390 lots out of the 4,500. So you can come see me. I'll look at you look you up on my list and let you know so you can know right now whether it's I don't want to say worry about, because you'll just get me looking for snails in your yards. It'll be great. So, okay, I'm going to let John finish up here.
Okay, we're kind of on the home stretch. Thanks for remaining attentive. I get to talk about the financial assistance options that we've been working on. And a number of things. We've kind of broke it into the financial assistance for the lateral connections, which is what Rob was talking about, and those several thousand dollars of costs that are going to be associated with that. And then other financial assistance for the overall sewer cost, which was like on that bar chart I showed, which shows that kind of in terms of a typical monthly cost. And then we also will be having workshops in the coming months to actually go through that in more detail on a more personal basis. So I'm going to go through what we have, but we're still continuing to pursue additional resources as we can. The USDA 504 program as offers a range of options. There's a loan program that would be a 20-year loan at 1% interest. There's also a grant program for those 62 and over. So these are available for very low-income residents and the USDA has a criteria. We have information and those numbers actually at the back table with Ken. So those costs can be applied to the cost of doing your lateral connection. Now, the exciting thing, too, about this program is those costs can be applied to other home improvements and home efficiency improvements that meet their criteria. So if you've been struggling with, how am I going to, repair this roof or something, these are also, those kind of costs are also eligible. This program, you have to submit your application within 6 months of the work. So we're kind of way ahead of the curve here on the timing, but that's why we're going to be having these workshops to get the information or to meet with you, determine if you're eligible, and then be able to follow up with you to make sure you get your application in at the right time, and then also that you know that whether you're eligible for that as you get closer. locally, we have also local funds, including the Community Development Block Grants, as well as the Community Fund. We're working on that program to also provide grants to assist with the lateral connections. We're going to target the other low-income residents who aren't quite low-income, you know, aren't the very low-income that qualify for the USDA program, but are nonetheless still have needs. And so we expect up to about $500,000 from those programs, and we'll continue to try to find other funds that may be available. Assistance related to general project costs. A recent development, and this was a state program that previously existed but then was has been resurrected, is the property tax postponement program. And it allows you to, you have to sign up. You can't just do this on your own. You have to apply and be accepted to defer payments on your property tax bills. So, and what's included in that is not just the typical property tax, but also assessments and rates and charges, which are how the costs of the sewer are being collected. So this allows you to, basically, it's a long-term loan for as long as, you know, there's the criteria in there as far as what ownership is defined as, but as long as you own your home and are in your home, it just becomes a lien on your property and then is not due until the property changes hands. It is 7%, and it, but it's available to low-income seniors. And I think the income cutoff is $35,500. So below that would be eligible, and it allows you basically to defer the majority of the sewer costs through this property tax program. Also, at the county, we're working on a service charges discount program, which would be about a 20% discount on that, those rates and charges, which are, you know, estimated at about $75 a month. And so a 20% discount on that would also be available to low-income residents, but of any age, not only seniors. So all those programs and the eligibility requirements for that can, and the application timing and everything else can be challenging. That's why we're planning to work with a partner with a local nonprofit to help help us hold workshops to meet one-on-one with you, the residents, to, you know, obtain guidance and information on whether you're eligible, you know, what you are, what your options are, and help prepare the applications, help with making sure that they're submitted timely. So those workshops are upcoming. We plan to have those by the end of this spring or this summer, so you can start planning, but also so we can start planning. As some of the key points of having that workshop is so that we can estimate, you know, what the demand is, what are the financial needs in Los Osos, how many people qualify for the federal USDA program. You know, they have, you know, we've been told that they have enough funding to meet whatever demand we have for that program. But then on top of that, for the next programs, what are the needs for that? So then we can develop the details and the recommendations for those programs, and so then that we can seek more grant funding. We can be armed with that data when we go and, you know, seek more funding. And we've received over $20 million in grants already on the project, and we're continuing to look for ways to address the affordability. And again, as I kind of said before, then once we determine if you're interested or eligible, we can continue with that follow-up on those programs. So you can sign up today for more information at the back table. We have sign-up sheets. If you can't get to that table, if it's too crowded, again, you can use these blue cards. And we do have handouts. We had a couple hundred the first meeting. They all went away. We got more printed for this meeting. We have about 150. If we run out, we will be putting those on our websites. Or you can just write on the blue card that you'd like a handout mailed or emailed to you. Give us your contact information. And we will be adding all this stuff, all this information to our website. So if you sign up, we'll have your direct contact. But either way, we'll be doing broader outreach to the community. So, you know, watch for that outreach material, both for the financial aid workshops as well as the lateral connections and the septic reuse options in the coming months. I'm going to ask Bruce to come up to close us here. So thank you for your patience.
Where do I find the website
address? Question about the website address. And it's kind of a rather long address with a, you know, for a government agency. It's not as simple as just google.com, but you can Google it. So if you Google LOWWP or Los Osos Wastewater Project, we're typically one of the one or two top hits, and it's the one that has SLO County in the address. That's the way I find it if I'm not on my regular computer.
Thanks. You can also go to the county's main website where you'll find a wealth of information, but there's a prominent link to that. I'm just here to thank you again for taking your time to come out. I hope you found this evening worthwhile. You know, I want you to know that while the streets are quiet now, the project team is still hard at work on a whole bunch of different aspects, and you've gotten a little bit of a taste of what that's about. We know that the financial burden of this project is substantial for this community, and one of the most important things we're doing is working on assistance to those who need it, and we're also working on the possibility of lowering the overall monthly cost of the project, most importantly by seeking a reduction in interest rate on one of the main loans that that funds this. And so if we can get that interest rate reduced, you know, we can make another dent in bringing down that bill. We also know that once we get a year from now, we'll be having another meeting, I'm sure, but we'll be on the verge of some major disruption and inconvenience in the community, as we work through the complex process of getting hooked up, all these lateral connections hooked up. We want to be sure that you're kept up to date. We will be doing mailings. We have the website. We have the project team available, and I want you to know that if at any point you're looking for an answer and you can't find it, you are always welcome to call my office. Mainlined into my office is 781-4338. That's 781-4338. I do hold office hours out here in the community. There are a variety of ways for us to get you information, and we're happy to do that. With that, we have our project experts around the periphery of the room. Project manager Mr. Waddell will be around. If you want to talk to him, I'll be around. You want to talk to the snail lady, you want to talk to the lateral guy, we're all going to be here answer your questions. We thank you again for being here and wish you a very good evening.